Hello and welcome to Just a Guy and His Journey Back to God. So today we're in the final chapter of Philippians, Philippians 4. But before we go there, let's go to God in prayer. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for loving us, loving me. You're the creator of all and deserve all praise. And yet, Father, at times I forget. I forget to do that. So I pray for your forgiveness. I ask it humbly. And I ask today as we come before you that you, Holy Spirit, would guide us, that you would speak to us, that you would open our hearts and our minds to your will, your revelations, and your insights. I just ask that it would be all from you and nothing from me. This is an important chapter. It's full of all sorts of insights and wisdom. And Lord, I come just seeking out that insight that would be meaningful to all of us. May we understand what you want us to know. May we understand and learn from you, Holy Spirit, today. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So chapter 4, there's a lot written on it, and then there's surprisingly little. Like, I thought Tozer would have a lot, but he didn't have anything. But we had a lot from Charles Spurgeon, but it was all very, it was interesting, but it was, I don't know, it was directed to concerns that were just not, didn't hit home with me. But then I did read from Kent Hughes and Preaching the Word commentary, some very cool stuff. And Kent really emphasized the thought processes, the thought, our minds that Jesus wants, that God wants. He wants our mind. And by focusing on the good things, the right things, to rejoice, to be gentle, to not be anxious and to pray, then we can have the peace of God. So it's what goes into our minds and in our hearts that is so critical. So let's go ahead and open up our hearts and our minds as we read chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Cynthia to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. So obviously there was conflict there between these women who were pillars. They had worked with him. They had helped establish churches with him. And yet they had a disagreement. And we know that Paul wants unity in his church or in the church. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. And remember, he's in prison in Rome right now. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out for Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied. Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all of your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet all God's people in Christ Jesus. The brothers and sisters who are with me send greetings. All God's people here send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. So in that last section, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. So Paul's having an impact in Rome even when he's in jail. Naturally, he's speaking and preaching the gospel even from there. So let's read a little bit about what Kent Hughes writes. He says, he, meaning Jesus, wants to keep our minds. We emphasize this because it has a direct bearing on Paul's command about the Philippians' thought lives in verses 8 and 9. As we see from the immediate preceding context, in order to counter the discord between Euodia and Syntyche that was threatening the unity of the Philippian church, Paul gave four brief imperatives that, if obeyed, would bring them the peace of God, namely, rejoice, be gentle, do not be anxious, and pray. If these were implemented, Paul promised, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now Paul exhorted the Philippians to embrace exalted thought patterns and practices that would enhance God's presence and peace, as he promised in verse 9. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So I just come back to thought patterns, thought processes. And what are my thoughts? Am I really thinking about whatever is pure, whatever is noble, whatever is true? Or am I thinking about, this is so screwed up, this government is taxing us to death, this is bad, this is evil. What am I putting into my head? What am I reading? Am I reading the Word? Am I reading exhortations or writings from pastors or others about God and about Jesus? Or am I reading garbage that increases anxiety or is just negative? What is it that I'm feeding into my mind? Am I really focusing on that which is good and pure? Am I then able to rejoice because of what I'm hearing and what I'm thinking and what I'm reading? Or am I getting stressed, depressed, and completely in the wrong mindset? Which is it that you're doing, that I'm doing? And when I really honestly think about it, I'm not following the guidance, the instructions, the urgings of Paul. I'm listening to how bad things are. I'm focusing on that. And I'm not focusing on the good, the lovely, and the admirable. So it's a true conviction that has hit me throughout this. If Jesus knows our minds, God knows our minds, he made them. And we have to think on these positives. Otherwise, we will wind up stressed and depressed. And that's not a good thing for us. So with that, let's go back to God in prayer. Holy Father, thank you for your insights. Thank you for all that you've done. for making us and then telling us what's best for us and how to actually live. So, Lord, I praise you, and I'm grateful, and I ask, Holy Spirit, for you to help us to focus on that which is good, that which is lovely and admirable and true, and not to listen to the gossip, the evil, and the things that are not of you, Lord. May our hearts and our minds be protected and filled with you, and may our lives be manifestations of that, where our joy shines forth. May we joyfully love you with all of our heart and being, and joyfully love our neighbors as ourselves. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, thanks for joining me at Just a Guy and His Journey Back to God. I hope you have a great day.